Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.
In our society, there is a heavy emphasis, especially in the United States, on the pursuit of happiness. And happiness is seen as a goal in and of itself, which people pursue through their careers, through their accumulation, through their, really in our society, through consumerism. It's seen as, in some ways, an honorable goal. And that, of course, that's one of our rights, is to pursue happiness, which I believe was changed from the pursuit of land to the pursuit of happiness. But the word happiness carries all sorts of baggage with it, because for happiness is not a very exact term. For instance, you know, serial killers are very happy when they are killing. And some people are very happy doing very disturbing things. And so there's baggage with the word happy that isn't quite correct. The other thing about happiness is that if one pursues happiness, if you set happiness as your goal, chances are you'll totally miss it. It is in doing things that are meaningful that we may find contentment, that we may find satisfaction, that we may find joy, that we may find even happiness in doing things meaningful. But pursuing happiness for happiness' sake is almost never actually meaningful. And it is an elusive goal, because we are fickle within our hearts. So today we heard the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes, one of the translations that you could read would be, happy are the poor. Because the Greek word makarios could be translated happy. I had a professor in seminary who very directly said there is no happiness in the scriptures. That nothing should be translated happy. Specifically, he was referring to the Beatitudes. And it's because of the baggage that it shouldn't be translated that way. Because when the Beatitudes say that blessed are the poor, or that they're blessed, it indicates something deeper than a mere surface contentment, or what we would call happiness. It refers more to a spiritual joy. Something that is deeply meaningful, that deeply connects us to God, that deeply connects us to one another, and that ultimately is blessed. And that means in a state of blessing from God, that God actually blesses us. And we see in the Beatitudes a roadmap, or if you will, nine commandments that essentially, if you were ever wondering what it is that you're supposed to be doing in your Christian life, you could certainly say that you are to pursue the commandments. And that's the way that many of the fathers frame the Beatitudes. They say, you know, in the Old Testament, Moses went up a mountain and he delivered the Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, Jesus goes up a mountain, he delivers these nine Beatitudes, these nine blessings. And in those blessings, there are two ways that they can be taken. One as a reward. In other words, in each Beatitude, there is something. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is a reciprocal. But also as states of being, places, spaces in which we live. If the Ten Commandments were external, the nine commandments of Christ given in the Beatitude are internal realities. It's no longer enough to simply follow externals. Our faith has to enter into us deeply. It has to transform us, and it has to bring us to a place of blessedness. So to briefly go through each one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. These Beatitudes are paradoxical. St. Luke will say, blessed are the poor. And no one considers being poor a blessing. No one considers the feelings of poverty a blessing. And yet Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, when you feel empty, when you feel your possibly financial poverty, but also your poverty of soul, that you are actually entering into a blessed place. You feel it now because the poor are always dependent upon God. And it is not a blessing to be self-sufficient in our day and age, although the world would teach you that. It's a blessing to be God-sufficient, to be entirely reliant upon Christ, upon God for your sustenance, to look to Him in everything. Blessed are those who mourn. Who can look at our world and not mourn unless they have a hard heart? It is good to see, to have our eyes open, and to be aware not only of our personal sins, but also that this is a broken place, that this is a pig pen. And if we mourn for that, we're told that we will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. And meekness is, again, you think of our time, survival of the fittest. I was thinking about this last night when we talk about survival. Why are we so obsessed with oppressed people? In a society that emphasizes kind of a Darwinian ethic of survival of the fittest, why do we worry about poor people? Apparently they're not fit enough to provide for themselves. Why do we worry about weak people? Well, we worry about this because we're human. And because we're more than just mere animals. And we're worried about more than just survival. And so meekness is part of this. Being humble, being lowly of spirit. We shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. To actually have an inner desire for justice within our society, but also within our day-to-day life. And then to pursue and actually have an inner drive to find righteousness. For we shall be filled if we have that. Blessed are the merciful. Because if we are merciful, we shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the seeing of God is participating in God. To see God in the Old Testament and the New Testament is to commune with God. And ultimately, all the junk that we put in our hearts clouds us and keeps us from this goal. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who lay down their sword, those who are selfless enough not to demand that their rights be fulfilled, those who are willing to go in between others and make peace. And they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Make sure that when you're persecuted, that it is for righteousness' sake. So many of us are persecuted because of our personalities, or because of the way we carry ourselves, because of the chips on our shoulder. But Christ says that it should be before our righteousness' sake. That we with all integrity and with every bit of ounce of self-thought and integrity could know that when we're being persecuted has nothing to do with us instigating. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for your reward is heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets before you. Today we celebrate the feast of All Saints of America and All Saints of Russia. And when you think about a saint, we often think of something a lot bigger than us, a lot further away from us than we feel that we're not very close to sanctity. But it is in the simple following of the Beatitudes. It is in the day-to-day application of these simple nine commandments. It is in struggling to make those the whole of our life, to internalize them, to make that real within us rather than things we just confess with our lips that ultimately produces sanctity. That simple roadmap, that is all the saints have done. They may have, we could say maybe they've taken it more seriously than we've had, but that is only to say that we need to begin to take our spiritual life more seriously. And so as we venerate these great saints, let's be inspired by the fact that it is possible to follow these commandments, that it is possible to live and be meek like St. Tikhon. It is possible to be humble and poor of spirit like St. Innocent. It is possible to be persecuted like Peter the Aleut for his name's sake and to be blameless in that. It is possible to be merciful because we have saints that have shown their mercy. All these things are entirely possible. So may God bless us as we pursue the Christian life to emulate the saints and to make these gospel commandments an inside event of our hearts to be transformed by God and to pursue Him into righteousness and ultimately to pursue Him into eternity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.